Well, good morning and welcome to our show, All Things Jessamine. Well, today, some history. Three stories for you. We'll talk about one of the oldest communities in our county, one of the oldest churches still operating, and a town whose name was changed because of a mule. And we'll do all that when we return right after this word.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
Well, good morning and welcome to the show. I'm Doug Fain. Glad you joined us on All Things Jessamine. Today, we're going to do a little bit of history lesson. I have some stories to tell you, and the first one we're going to talk about is one of the oldest settlements of our county, a place called Chrisman Mill. Now, Chrisman Mill wasn't always known as Chrisman Mill. In fact, it had many names, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, let me tell you how it all started. We have to go way, way, way back to before Kentucky was even Kentucky, back when our land was all part of Virginia. There was a fellow named Jacob Hunter Sr., and his dad's name was Charles. By the way, Charles was one of the settlers of Boonesboro. Well, Jacob Hunter Sr. was Jessamine County's first pioneer settler, and he surveyed his land boundaries. And by the way, that boundary was signed by then-governor of Virginia, Patrick Henry, and he settled on this 800-acre plantation around Big Hickman Creek in the Kentucky River at a place known as Carver's Ferry. Now, Hunter was born back in 1753 in North Carolina. He was a Revolutionary War soldier. He also was a millwright by trade. So in 1779, he floated down the Kentucky River. He selected this big plantation and a site on the Big Hickman Creek for his mill, about a mile from the Kentucky River. Two sets of millstones were brought in from France. They were actually hauled to Boonesboro across the mountains by wagon train, and then they were floated down the river, and there Jacob Hunter Sr. built his mill, known as Hunter's Mill. Originally. Well, in 1803, I guess after 4 years, he got tired of the mill, so he sold it. He sold the water in the grist mill to a fella for $50, and this guy's name just happened to be Hugh Chrisman, and that's when it became Chrisman Mill. Chrisman went on to run the mill for about 45 years, and he died in 1849. When he did, his son and heir, Henry Chrisman, was executor of his estate. Now, a side note, he had a co-executor, and the fellow's name was Andrew Hemphill. Yes, of Hemphill's Pharmacy, which you may remember on Main Street. Well, Henry Chrisman later sold the mill to a fellow named Henry Potts. That was in 1871 for $2,460, so made a pretty good profit in those years. Potts then turned around and sold the acreage to a fellow named Daniel Gribney and his wife Susan, who, by the way, were descendants of Jacob Hunter Sr., the original person who built the mill back in the 1700s. After the Gribneys, they sold it to J.F. Sagerser and his wife Lucy. That was in 1885. And then 15 years later, they sold it to a fellow named John Taylor. Taylor didn't keep the mill very long because he sold it just months later in 1900 to a fellow named R.H. Quinn for $1,900 cash. The mill was then conveyed to W.W. Quinn, and that's when it became the Quinn Mill. And then for a dollar, a few years later, William Quinn and his wife sold the land to a fellow named Herman Watts, and then the mill became known as Watts Mill. And then in 1937, the mill was torn down. So it started as Hunter's Mill, became Chrisman Mill, and then it was Potts Mill, Gribney Mill, Sagerson Mill, Taylor Mill, Quinn Mill, and finally Watts Mill before it was torn down. The mill went through a lot of hands, but it served a great number of people in the area of our county. And the settlement of Chrisman Mill is still there in the southeast part of Jessamine County, one of the oldest settlements that we have. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the oldest churches that we have, and also about a settlement here in our community whose name was changed because of a mule. We'll do all that after this word.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville, a different kind of automobile dealership.
Welcome back. Now we're going to talk about one of the oldest churches that we have in Jessamine County. It's here in Nicholasville. In fact, it's called Nicholasville Baptist Church, and it is the oldest church in the county that is still worshiping in its original sanctuary. After organizing in February of 1849, about 150 members dedicated the completed building in 1852. Well, in the 1860s, we all know that the Civil War happened, and at that time, the federal government actually commandeered the church and turned it into a hospital right after the Battle of Perryville. When the soldiers recovered, the building was used to store grain for the cavalry. Well, as the federal government sometimes do, they promised reimbursement for use of the church, but that was never received, and records that were sent to Washington were never returned. So the church members started their church again. Full-time preaching began in 1896. Oak pews from Grand Rapids were bought for the grand total of $365. In 1910, stained glass windows replaced the old wooden shutters, and iconic columns enhanced the portico. Now, by the early 50s, membership was pretty good, up around the 800 mark. That was when the first street education building was dedicated. It was in 1954. In 1958, the church established a thing called the Poor Town Mission. It later became known as Camp Nelson Baptist Church. Between 56 and 63, membership grew to over 1,000. And a lot of things happened with Nicholasville Baptist. A second education building was dedicated. A parsonage on Greenwood Drive was built. The church's front portico was enclosed to enlarge the sanctuary. New pews and pulpit furniture was installed. A parking lot was purchased. A Main Street building was purchased. And a First Street house was bought for classes. In fact, so many people were there, they had to have two morning services, even back then, to accommodate their attendance. Now, in the late 60s, there were two brothers in our county. One of them owned a local market, the other built houses, and they decided to donate a parcel of land to the church that was located on South 27. Now, this would have been out what was then cornfields at the time. The brothers' names? Cleveland and Henry Thompson. Once that land was donated to the church, the Edgewood Mission was built with a third of the sale of 66 acres of the Baker Farm. Now, this was a farm that had been willed to the church by Miss Helen Baker back in the 50s. When Edgewood Baptist Church constituted in 1970, NBC gave up half her members. Later in 1979, the Baker Mansion, the NBC Sanctuary, and the Walker Hotel all became Kentucky Historic Landmarks. The balance of the Baker Farm was sold, and a Baker Memorial Fund was established. And then in 1988, 144 members of Nicholasville Baptist established the Brookside Baptist Mission. In 1989, it became known as Brookside Baptist Church. This church has a lot of history. And again, it's the oldest church with people still worshiping in the original sanctuary. Nicholasville Baptist Church, down on Main Street. Now we turn our focus from churches to businesses. And we're going to talk about one of the oldest ones in Wilmore. This has an interesting story because this involved a building, a man, a mule, and a railroad. And the fact that Wilmore wasn't always known as Wilmore. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The city of Wilmore, which was founded in 1890, was originally known as Scott Station, Kentucky. Now, John Scott owned a substantial amount of property and livestock. He, in fact, sold the right-of-way to the railroad through Jessamine County to the Cincinnati Southern Railroad, or CSR. Well, one day, his prize mule wandered out onto the railroad tracks. Train came by and killed it. He was so mad that he sued the railroad for failing to put up fences along the right-of-way. And although the railroad awarded him a small sum of money, no fences were ever constructed. But in retaliation, the CSR decided, we're not going to call this place Scott Station anymore. So they decided to name the town after a cousin of John Scott's. His name, J.R. Wilmore. Well, you know, over the years, Scott Station Inn has been used as a residence, a boarding house, a dormitory for Asbury. In fact, this six-bedroom building is just located three blocks from Asbury. Built by John Scott, it was refurbished in 1990 as a bed and breakfast, and it's kept the charm and the gracious air of an old Kentucky home. Each room has its own decorative theme, reflecting the beauty of Kentucky. The green shutters, the white picket fence, and the wide porch swing add just the right finishing touch. And the man that owned this house? Well, it was his mule that caused the name of Wilmore to come about. Well, one little last piece of trivia before we leave you this morning. Who remembers where WNVL used to sit? The old radio station down on Main Street. Well, years and years and years before that ever happened, there was a fellow named Thomas Jefferson Brown. He operated a hotel in that very spot. He urged the town to have a public cemetery, and they did, and he was the first person to be buried there. Well, that's some history about our county. We'll do this every once in a while, just talk about some places and some of the history and things that happened there. We hope you enjoyed our lesson today. My name is Doug Fain, and I am pleased that you joined me on All Things Jessamine. And I hope you'll do so again every Saturday morning at 11, right here on Jess FM 105.9.